It's time to get into the Inside Edge.
Shoot that, he scores!
The latest about the CBJ and the NHL.
Presented by your Greater Columbus Kia dealers and the new 2019 Kia Sorento. Conquer your mountain.
Here's your hosts of the Inside Edge, Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley.
Welcome to the Inside Edge presented by Kia. The Blue Jackets advancing through the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They capped it off last night when they got a win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Final score in the game was 7-3. The final tally in the series was 4-0. The Blue Jackets made history on many fronts last night. First of all, the Blue Jackets were the only NHL franchise not to advance past the first round of the playoffs. Check. That is over. Secondly, it was Sergei Bobrovsky that has been talked about for the last number of years as a goaltender that couldn't get his team into the second round of the playoffs. Check. That's taken care of. A President's Trophy winning team had never, ever lost in the first round by a sweep in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Check. The Blue Jackets are going down in history in many, many ways. And last night, they just took their will to the Tampa Bay Lightning for a fourth straight game. I'm Bob McElligott. I'm alongside of Jody Shelley, as usual. And Jody, this series, my goodness, you and I talked about it. We talked about it going to Tampa last week, a couple of days before the first game. Talked about it in Tampa. Talked about it on the way home. And just, first of all, couldn't believe the way they came back in game one. Could almost not believe that they were 2-0 coming back to Columbus. And should have been able to believe that they would win two more games by that point, right?
I guess. I mean, who could have predicted that this team came together when they did and how they took it to the Tampa Bay Lightning? They just swept the Lightning, who everyone, it didn't matter what arena we went to at what point of the season, everyone wanted to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning and hey, how they are the dominant, they are the one team, the dominant team in the National Hockey League, who just get it done. And they just ripped through everybody. And then the Blue Jackets, oh, it's great you got in the playoffs, but everyone wanted to say how too bad it's Tampa. Well, I tell you, everyone except the players in the locker room, because they weren't going to be denied this series. They went into Tampa, and Tampa's fans cheered for 20 minutes, and after that, they've had nothing to cheer about because the Blue Jackets have done nothing but take it to the Lightning. I can use that past tense now, actually, because they did nothing but take it to the Lightning. And the Lightning left last night, and I think they're shocked. They're stunned, along with the hockey world. This is the Columbus Blue Jackets, a team that people have talked about the past few years and saying, I wouldn't want to meet them in the playoffs. They're hard to play against. You felt like it was a courtesy. It was lip service. But this year, with the trades, the deadline trades, John Tortorella pulling this team together, them playing a brand of hockey in the first round that is so hard to play against, and Tampa had no answer. The skill versus will, and will came out on top.
I can just imagine what the ice crew at Amalie Arena in Tampa was thinking when they shut off the compressors, because you can melt the ice. It's over. There is no reason to keep that there, and that is the last thing that they were expecting, as you said, that this team was expecting. I mean, look, those two games, you mentioned their crowd roared for 20 minutes, and then it was like we were playing in the Tampa Public Library. Yeah. And then they roared at the beginning of game two, and about 3 minutes into that game, we were back in the library again. And that's a credit to the Blue Jackets players for the way that they just dominated, suffocated, and made the Tampa Bay Lightning something they had not been all season. And that is vulnerable and ineffective.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a straight up butt kicking is what it was. And it was so fun to watch for the Blue Jackets. It was so, I mean, even until, I mean, the Blue Jackets were up 3-0. And there was still talk of the Lightning can win four straight. And the Blue Jackets, I love what they did last night. They just made it happen in front of their fans, those empty net goals. It was tight. It was confident. It was clean. It was in your face. It was playoff hockey. And then the handshake line is so awesome. It's such a great thing. Because at the end of the day, you battled. You hate each other. There's animosity. There's hatred. There's things that happen that we don't even see. And then when the dust settles and the horn goes, you go and shake the hand of the opponent and give them hugs and wish you luck and say thank you and move on. And that scene in the middle of Nationwide Arena, it's one that you'll never forget. And hopefully we see it three more times this year.
You know, it's funny when you were talking about the empty nets and how calmly they went about them. It was only after, was it after game one, I think, that Aaron Portsline of The Athletic was asking John Tortorella, have you ever rethought that, just getting the puck in your own zone and trying to hit the empty net no matter what? Because they were missing, and it had resulted in icing calls, which meant a faceoff in the defensive zone, which gave Tampa more life in a one-goal game in game one. And Torts cut him off, and he said, no, we go for it. We go for it. That's what we do. Tonight, there was no missing. Actually, the toughest one to get was the first one when Josh Anderson went bursting down the left wing side, got run off the puck, but Artemi Panarin was there and eventually was able to finish it off and get the job done. And even though they had to add two more, there was a lot of time on the clock, and you knew that, you know, it's still, this is Tampa, so it's not a given, but the Blue Jackets didn't know or didn't care, or a little bit of both. They just, as Torch says, they went about their business, and they put two more on the board. It looks like a really lopsided score. It was a closer game than that, but this series, quite frankly, was never close.
Never close. I mean, it was never close, and I'm telling you, when you see a team buy into a system and then figure out that it works, and then they believe in their goalie and their system and figure out that the coaching staff has got tells on the opposition, whether it's the goalie. You know they had a tell on the goalie. What was the tell?
Blocker side.
How'd you get that?
Low blocker.
How'd you get that?
Well, from a player that was scratched and came up to the press box and talked about it.
But who told him?
It was on the board. It was on
Manny
the board
Legacy,
in the room. Yes.
The goaltender coach did his job on Vasilevsky.
Yep.
And he deserves credit for that, because that little tidbit gives you confidence. When you go into a fight and you know something about the – if I would ever go into a fight and I knew that the guy that I was fighting didn't like getting hit or didn't like fighting, I had a mental edge right away. When you go against a goaltender and you know he's got a weakness or a point that he doesn't makes him uncomfortable, you have got that much more confidence. And those and it sounds like a little thing, but that's what happens in a playoff series. The goalie coach Manny Legacy went to work on Vasilevsky, found a tell, and they used it. How many goals went on that side?
I think
it was 10. Yeah. It was 9 or 10. And so, listen, and you know Vasilevsky figured out that they figured it out too, and then a couple tonight went on the other side. This is a chess match, and seven-game series are hard to win. They're difficult to play in, and the Blue Jackets tonight, or last night, sorry, swept the Lightning in a series where they went to work. They went to work on these guys. The system John Tortorella put in place, not easy. It's really, really difficult to play in. You have to be all in, and the forwards have to be – I mean, it's hard to forecheck, back check, get off the ice. It's really, really demanding. But the defensemen appreciate it, and that's why they were able to look like they smothered the opposition.
Let me ask you this, because I would like to know this. I don't know if you've asked, and if you haven't, I think one of us should ask John Tortorella. I want to know where he got his game plan from, because it obviously wasn't in the three games the Blue Jackets played during the regular season against Tampa, because those games were nothing like this. But I wonder if he went back to last year, games 6 and 7 against the Washington Capitals, when the Capitals came from behind in that series and knocked out the Tampa Bay Lightning. I wonder if that's where he got that game plan or found the tells that he was looking for.
Maybe. But listen, the Blue Jackets have scouts that go to all these games. They've got pro scouts. They've got people that they know. They've talked to everybody. And this is not just 6 or 7 people. There's been a lot of people that have put their mark on this series. And to put together a game plan like this, you're right, it could be there. Maybe it was Barry Trotz. Maybe he talked to Barry Trotz. Who knows? I don't know if they talk in the playoffs or not. But who knows where he got it?
Well, they weren't playing each other until the conference final, so maybe.
Maybe it was Dan Singleton.
Yep.
You know, there's a video coach there. So there's a lot of hard work, and there's people behind the scenes that you feel so proud for, the trainers that have been here since day one. And I'm only saying this. There's a lot more to do. But this is a step, and I think that when this step is made, it happened last night. Let's enjoy this for a day or two. Let's enjoy what's happening here, because there's nothing like playoff hockey, and there's nothing like a playoff hockey city, and there's nothing like Columbus, Ohio, that's now getting a real taste of playoff hockey.
And isn't it nice when you say about enjoying it? Isn't it nice that it wasn't like, okay, this one's over, let's get on a plane, go somewhere else, we're going to play again in 2 days?
Right. No, this is great. You can imagine there's some bumps and bruises. We'll talk to Jarmo Kekalainen, and he'll probably give us some intel on that, but you know. There's bumps and bruises.
Yeah, you're right. Jarmo Kekalainen is going to be our guest tonight, by the way. Good call by you. I don't know why that always slips
Finally.
My mind. I get so much in the moment of
Finally,
everything.
I helped you out with a
yes,
good call.
Well, it's playoffs. It's playoffs. You know, the forwards have to come back and help the D at times, as you just said. So
oh, yeah, that's
well
right.
done.
Thank you.
Well done. There's just so many things about this series. Alexander Texier was a name on a piece of paper to me 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And again, I think I told you the story before. I had a fan sent me a question right after he got to Cleveland. He scored 3 goals in his first 3 games. I said, what do you think about him? I don't think anything about him. He's not here. It doesn't matter to me. He's in Cleveland. When he's here, I'll care. Well, guess what? He's here, and boy, do we care. He had 2 goals in last night's game. He's got 3 goals in the National Hockey League. He's played 6 games. And, oh, by the way, the Blue Jackets happen to be 6-0 with him in their lineup.
It's unreal. And this guy didn't bat his first game in Tampa. His first playoff game, he cross-checked Kucherov and then went after him again. He's got some kind of battle level and will level that's so awesome.
He said, when I talked to him the other day, he said, nobody knows who I am in this league. I want them to get to know who I am.
Yeah.
That will do it.
He's so confident. It's amazing. I asked him if he played any other sports. I don't know if I told you this. I said, do you play any other sports? He goes, yeah, I play tennis and I'm very, very good. I said, well, that's nice. So he's a confident kid.
So he immediately said, don't play tennis against Alexander.
No chance I'm playing tennis against him. But obviously he wants me to know, or he's not.
Or he wants to
tell
play
me.
You. One of the two. He's not,
he doesn't want to play me because he would shellack me.
Who else in this series? You could just go through. There's so many. You top to bottom, just the way it was done. You know, I was really happy for a guy like a David Savard, who's always kind of that defensive defenseman. He's kind of in the shadows type of a guy. He had a huge goal in game one. He walks Victor Hedman to get that goal in game one. This is a guy that we've talked about him the past 2 years. Well, David Savard is good, and he's playing with Jack Johnson. So maybe that's why. Oh, David Savard is good. He's playing with Ian Cole. Oh, maybe that's why. David Savard is good, period. End of story. He was playing with Marcus Nutavara. When Nutavara leaves the lineup, Dean Kukin comes up and plays with him. It doesn't matter who he's playing with. He did the same job night in and night out. That's what he's done all year. He's picked up his goals here and there in the last couple of weeks. But when you need a guy, and we saw it again last night, the time is winding down. When you need a guy to get that puck, trap it against the boards, get the skate against there, and make it hard as hell for somebody to pull it off the boards, David Savard is your guy every time.
Playoff savvy. He's a guy that's just built for the playoffs. You look at that guy, and you know he's hard to play against. His teammates love him. He's a fun guy to be around. You look at the pictures from the Halloween party. You look at his personality and his character, and you put that guy in the lineup, and he puts his heart on the line to block shots without hesitation, without any thought of, oh, this is going to hurt. He's willing to do whatever. And then he goes out and tucks in a goal that changed the organization. I think it changed the organization. The time of the goal, the time that it happened, it really gave the team belief. So Foligno gets the first goal after Bobrovsky shuts the door, and then David Savard goes down. It looks like Serge Savard from the old Montreal Canadiens, and goes top shelf. And the celebration he had, they showed that the next day in the locker room just for team spirit. Look at this guy. Look at what this guy did. Not the goal. Let's forget about that. Look at how he cheered after. Pure joy. And things like that. I think that's what John Tortorella and his coaching staff are so good at. They've been with these guys all year. Tort says, I'm in it now with these guys. That means he understands them, and he's in there to be a part of what they're doing.
Other veteran guys that this is huge for because of the time they put in, the heartbreaks that they've gone through here. Cam Atkinson's on the list. Nick Foligno, of course. Brandon Dubinsky. I mean, the guys have been here for a long time, and they haven't ever been able to enjoy the night like they did enjoy last night. Again, I know the job's not done, and they know the job's not done, but for that one night, they deserve the accolades, they deserve the praise, and they deserve to soak in the energy of the fans that packed the building.
Yeah, just be ready. This is going to be a long spring. When you knock off the number one seed in the Stanley Cup playoffs in 4 games, your confidence is high. You don't know where this is going to end, and I don't want to predict because it could be – it's right now they're in a magical place, and teams try to get – organizations try to get teams to play this way, players to play how this team has played. It's hard to do. It's hard to fabricate. You can read books. You can talk about it. You can have speech as motivational speakers. But there's nothing like seeing a team get galvanized like we did in game one. I think it happened in game one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And there's nothing like it. So they have it. And I don't know what it's going to take, but they were not going to be denied last night.
Yeah, I wouldn't predict either because had I predicted before the first round,
right,
I probably would have been wrong. So I am so happy to be wrong and so proud of the way that this team has, has come together because, you know, and we're fortunate. We get to be there day in and day out, and we don't know all of the battles. We don't know all of the discussions, but you know when there's something going on, and that something could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. It could be turmoil. It can be elation. And just to watch them from the outside go through it and then watch them stand at center ice and raise their sticks last night for that moment – it was all worth it.
And that's the other thing. That brings another great point. That moment at center ice in front of their fans at home, another part of this formula, you can't – okay, if they won it on the road in Game 5, they don't get what they got last night. They don't get that emotion, the joy, the sharing it with their fans. That's another level of – do they think they want to relive that moment? Do you think they want to bring it back to their fans? Do you think their fans showing them that appreciation, you think they'll ever forget that? There was a buzz in the building from the start, and at the end it was multiplied by 1,000. And the appreciation and the joy, this is a major sports city, and now people know who the Columbus Blue Jackets are.
Absolutely. And you were down there on the ice. You had a chance to talk to some of the guys after last night's game. Coming up, we're going to hear some of those interviews from the players and what they had to say while they were in the moment last night, having just swept the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then a little bit later, Blue Jackets general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen will join us. This is the Inside Edge presented by Kia on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by Kia. Bob McElligott along with Jody Shelley. And you know, the playoffs are about unsung heroes. And an unsung hero doesn't have to come into a game and score a hat trick. Doesn't have to come into the game and make a huge save as a goaltender. It just has to be consistent. Just has to go out and do the job. And Adam Clendenning, in the last two games of that series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, fits that definition of unsung hero. Marcus Nudavara got hurt. Dean Kukin and Scott Harrington are already playing in the games because of injuries to Ryan Murray and Adam McQuaid. So it's Clendenning's turn. Adam spent most of the year in Cleveland of the American Hockey League. Yes, he's a veteran guy. He has played both in the National Hockey League and the American Hockey League. But to step in Game 3 of a series, when you have never before played a Stanley Cup playoff game, that's a big ask. Adam Clendenning made it look easy. And last night, he joined Brian Gieselslaw and Bill Davich on Fox Sports Ohio.
Adam, how does that feel?
That was awesome. Had a lot of fun and just happy to be part of it.
I got to ask you this. You obviously joined this group here only recently.
Yeah.
But in that short amount of time and a couple of games, what have you been able to determine about this group? What makes it work? What's made them capable of knocking out a team like Tampa in the first round?
We're all pulling on the rope the same way. Everybody's okay with the role they have, and I think we're all taking it shift by shift, period by period, trying to play the right way, and hopefully good things come of it, and it's went our way so far.
Adam, you look at the injuries on the defensive side of things, it does put an onus on a hockey team, especially here in the National Hockey League. But you and Harry tonight, you stood out. You did some outstanding things. The last few games, the defensive core have really come to the forefront. Again, it's an attitude. That's a pretty good attitude to have.
It's really easy to play with Harry. Credit to him. He competes hard, plays very simple. So for a guy like me, it makes my job pretty easy, and obviously it's awesome to have number 3 and number 8 out there as well. Those two guys are just something else to watch.
And they're so young.
Yeah, it's impressive. They're actually both younger than me. It makes no sense.
Well, you were able to jump right in here, and Torts has said it. We've all seen it. There was no hesitation. There was no adjustment period. You played well right from the start. You played well again here tonight. How were you able to shake the nerves or whatever might be a normal reaction for people in this position?
I kind of just treated it like a normal hockey game. I didn't really change anything last game. I didn't really have much time to think about it. I think I had like 12 minutes or so that really helped me. And the older guys, obviously, not older, I guess, but more experienced, Jonesy and Z, and obviously Harry did a great job of just helping me play and just letting it go and not thinking, just don't be afraid to make a mistake. And, I'm confident in my abilities and sure, just trying to help the team and win games, and that's all that matters this time of year.
Take us inside the room. for a minute. And in the games that you've been here, whether it was the previous games or tonight, was there a moment in the room amongst players, amongst coaches, that kind of defines this run for you and how this team has played so well? Something that was said, something that was reinforced, something that summed it up for you is what this team's doing right now.
I don't know. I wasn't in the room at the start of the series, really. Most of the season I wasn't here. The new guys at the deadline, I don't quite have an answer for you. My guess would be the thought of just, you know, don't back down, play our game and play the right way. And if we do it, we know we're a good enough team that we can beat anybody. And, you know, I think we've done that. I think we've managed to play our own game and play the right way and play hard. And, you know, bounces have gone our way so far.
Thanks to Fox Sports Ohio for the audio of that interview. Adam Clendenning, truly an unsung hero for the Blue Jackets in games 3 and 4. Coming up next, Jody and I are going to talk with Blue Jackets general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen as the Inside Edge, presented by Kia, continues on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge, presented by Kia. Last night, the Blue Jackets capped off their first-round playoff series as they swept the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-0. They win last night's game by the final score of 7-3. Right after the game, Jody and I had a chance to catch up with Blue Jackets general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen. Jarmo, your team gets done exactly what you had hoped that they would be able to get done. You know, you put yourself on line there with the moves that you made and all of those things. The last couple of weeks, there were questions. Could they do it? Did you get the right guys? All of those things. What do you feel like to watch this team get the job done in the first round?
Well, it's great. It's very satisfying to this point. But obviously, you know, we've talked about it all along that this is not the goal. You know, everybody talks about us not having won a round in the playoffs, but we want to win 4 rounds in the playoffs, and that's the goal we have to have. And I think having beaten the one of the best or tied for the best record in the regular season team like Tampa Bay, a great team, and moving on should give us enough confidence that we can beat anybody, and you know, we got to get 12 more wins.
Is there anything right off the moment and having it fresh in your mind, is there anything in particular that you're just really proud of, just whether it's an individual, whether it's a style of play, whatever it is, what makes you the most proud about this group and what they've accomplished to this point?
Well, I think I'm most proud about the way we play as a team right now. Everybody's sacrificing their bodies, blocking shots, playing discipline, sticking to the system, playing the way we need to play to win games. We're finally a team with a capital T and E and A and M. So that's what I'm most proud about, because that's what it's all about. You know, you can have whatever bunch of individuals and stars and names, it won't matter unless you play as a team. And I think we really got together at the right time. We had some hard talks about what it means to be a team. We knew we had to go 6-2 minimum down the stretch. We went 7-1 and got into the playoffs, and now we beat the best team in the league. But you can only do it when you're a team. There's no other way around it, and I'm really proud of the guys.
When you put this group together and you spend those times and those evenings when there's losses or they're not playing to their potential, how do you stick with what you have to get to what you have here today?
Well, I mean, you analyze and evaluate the guys daily here, whether it's practice, how they handle themselves, how they deal with each other through adversity, all those little things that we always keep an eye on. You know, coach always has the best pulse on what's going on with the team, but you got to believe. You got to believe in the core group. I think we have a great core group of guys with a lot of character, a lot of courage, guys that are great hockey players, good ability, you know, and they're still learning, and there's a higher ceiling to most of those guys than what we're seeing now. So we got a great future here, and it's just that's what you need to do. I think you just need to believe and need to evaluate every day and just have patience. I guess that's the word that you got to use. But you know, we put a lot of hours, and not just us here and the scouts around the world that that believed in our guys that we got at the deadline, or a guy like Texier. You know, we get these messages from Jarkko Ruutu and Joseph Boumediene all year long, basically telling us that, hey, he's ready to play. He'll play for you this year. He'll play for you this year.
No
then
way.
I go see him myself. You know, that's the type of guys that, you know, they put their, you know what, on the line to say that, hey, that's a bold statement, but they made it all year long. And you know, he's here and he's playing pretty darn well. And I'm proud of him, too. He's 19 years old. Imagine the future he has ahead of him. To have that kind of confidence coming into this kind of series and not have any nervousness scoring two goals here tonight. And but, you know, like I said, it's a team effort. Guys getting down to block shots, doing anything they need to do, bumps and bruises. They're black and blue right now, but they're feeling pretty darn good.
I have two more quick questions for you. One, John Tortorella gives you a lot of credit for being a talent evaluator, and I know you guys have had some tough discussions where he doesn't see it with a player, but you do. How great is that relationship that you have with him? That A, you've got that opinion on a player, and B, he now seems to have the patience to wait for that player to show up, a la Bjorkstrand and what we've seen out of him.
Yeah, but I think we have a great relationship that way. I think it's through experience where I may have told him about a guy and then he doesn't see it. And that happens to me too sometimes. You know, scouts come to me and say, oh, you know, this guy's really good, really good. And I don't necessarily see it, but because I believe in the guy, I go see him again and again, and that's what Torts has done. He's had the patience to give opportunities to those guys that we believe in as management. And you know, he has unbelievable balls to the way he plays these young guys and lets them make mistakes. And the thing about Torres, you know, there's a lot of different opinions about him and his coaching style. But if you work and you compete, he's going to let you make mistakes and he's going to let you play and he's going to put you out there. That's pretty two, you know, important but simple things. Work and compete. And you're in good books always with him, even if you make some mistakes.
Yeah, he likes an honest effort. My last question is, you've been in the business a while. I know you've got a bigger – there's much more things to accomplish with this team this year. But you've taken this organization and this fan base in the city to a place now that they've never been. How many text messages have you got here after the game?
my phone's blowing up, but this night was special. I mean, the fans were just electric. It was unbelievable, and me and my family, we've grown to love this city and this organization, and we're proud of the fans and how they were tonight. It was unbelievable. The roof was coming off, and it's great for the Blue Jackets organization to move on to the second round. But now we got some unfinished business here, so let's go step by step and one day at a time.
All right, we're with the Jarmo Kekäläinen, and I only have one more thing for you, too. As you're talking about moving on to the next round, you've acquired great depth in this organization. You just played the first round against the best team of the regular season. Adam Clendenning had to come in and play games. He had never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs before. Scott Harrington, Dean Kukin coming up huge in those games. But you signed Gavrikov this week. I know you're trying to get that visa work done to get him in here. And also, I saw Ryan Murray in the dressing room today, which was nice. Haven't seen him in quite a while. And Adam McQuaid is the other guy. You know, having some time in between series, what's the possibility that you get some other guys either back to health or you get him in here, get him a chance to practice with the group?
Well, time will tell. I mean, the time off will obviously help a lot of guys, even the guys that were playing tonight with the bumps and bruises and some injuries. So it'll definitely help us, and we'll see what the injuries look like when we get into the next series.
Jarmo, thank you very much. Congratulations. Job well done. I know it's a job that's not finished yet, but it has been quite the ride, and we appreciate what you've done and that we could be a part of it. Thanks.
Thank you.
That is Blue Jackets general manager Jarmo Kekäläinen, and his team is moving on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll be back with more of the Inside Edge presented by Kia right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by Kia. Getting ready to wrap up this show. Blue Jackets advancing to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Last night they completed the four-game sweep of the Tampa Bay Lightning. They won the first game 4-3, won the second game 5-1, won the third game 3-1, and then won the final game 7-3. Three empty net goals for the Blue Jackets in the final minutes of that game. John Cooper's team never found an answer for what the Blue Jackets did. Steven Stamkos was really put through the ringer by the people in Tampa for having 0 points. He did get a goal in last night's game. It was too little. It was too late. Braden Point had a goal. Too little, too late for him as well. The big boys of the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't show up until the party was already over. They just didn't realize that it was already over at the time. So the Blue Jackets will now move on. And, Jody, let's talk about what the possibilities are. First of all, let's talk about the other series that ended last night, which is surprising, quite frankly. It is very surprising. The New York Islanders, they had a magical season, right? They lose John Tavares last summer. Their fans are irate. They don't know what to do with themselves. They think their team has just fallen off the map. In comes Barry Trotz. In comes Lou Lamoriello. They change the culture a little bit there. Trotz implements his defensive-first system, gets his players to lock down, makes the games relatively boring. His team is very stingy. They allowed the least goals against in the National Hockey League throughout the regular season, I think. And then all of a sudden they wind up in the playoffs with home ice against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's good news, number one, for them. Number two, they got to play that first round at the Nassau Coliseum, which is almost unfair. If they would have played at the Barclays Center, it wouldn't have been nearly as
less
good.
Less fans.
Yes. Well, yeah, right. Less fans and louder in the Coliseum for sure. But they knocked off the Penguins. They win last night 3-1. They take that series 4-0. Look, if the Blue Jackets hadn't been playing the Lightning, maybe they're not getting the top accolades.
Right.
Maybe it's the New York Islanders right now. But, hey, the Blue Jackets last beyond the Penguins in the postseason. I think Pittsburgh's at a point where they're kind of turning the page in a way. I mean, their stars are aging now. They're still good players, but they're going to have to play a different way around them.
Yeah.
Right?
They're not on the way up. And you're seeing a change. I mean, look at Chicago. It was L.A. It was Washington last year. And Pittsburgh. It has been in the Metropolitan Division. I will say that. So, yeah, you know what, Bob? It's been fun to watch what's happening here. It's amazing what happens when teams like Pittsburgh get knocked off, too. Confidence, we talked about it in the opening segment. They got it from their structure. They got it from the way they played. The way they played. The way they dismantled the number one seed. But now you see Pittsburgh go down, a team that you never have beaten in the playoffs. You haven't beaten anybody in the playoffs except Tampa. But they're, you know what I'm saying. So there's confidence in that. There's more drive in that. Go further. This could be the year. What if, you know, other teams are going to get knocked out? This is I like that they're in the Atlantic now, too. I like that they're out of the Metro. Things are different. You know, you talk about the Islanders. It's a team that who knew? But they've played a defensive structure all year. They're going to be hard to play against. They're hard to play against just like the Blue Jackets were. Stay in the Atlantic. It's more wide open. You saw what Tampa did. Boston would be a bear.
Pardon the pun.
I want to stay away from the black and gold. Let's go with blue and white.
Yeah, it worked the first time around, right?
I think blue and white is much more comforting to the Blue Jackets.
I believe so,
okay,
too.
Okay, I say stick with the blue and white. Forget the black and gold. Let's go to Toronto and let's have some fun. No, but I don't want to get into picking because we didn't get to pick the Lightning. But I just think black and gold. I think the Blue Jackets have a problem with that. They have in the past. I mean, this is the now. But go with the blue and white. It's a good color.
And here's another thing: you can just turn it into an international series that way.
Dun dun dun.
I mean, who wants to be in just the United States? I mean, take it to Canada, right?
Boston's pretty nice in the spring, but I tell you what, Toronto. It'll be pandemonium, and you can put pressure on them.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. And, again, we can't control where it's going to go. It really doesn't matter when it's all said and done. But Toronto does lead that series 2-1. They got out to the early lead. They went into Boston. They took the first game from the Bruins.
Yep.
The Bruins came back and won the second game, as you would expect. But then back to Toronto. And, again, and the Leafs really had to grind out that game 3. They're going to play game 4 tonight, so it'll take another step one way
or the
other. But they really ground that out to the point where Mitch Marner, who's one of the top scorers on that team, blocked two
Wasn't
shots
that awesome?
In the closing seconds, blocked two shots to make sure that the Bruins couldn't tie that game in regulation.
And I tell you what, the Bruins, with all their veteran experience like I thought Tampa had, I really credited Tampa. I thought that they were the team coming out of the East when your predictions were going to happen because of their experience. And before the Blue Jackets got matched up with them, I honestly thought the veteran experience and how they loaded up, they didn't make any moves at the deadline. They knew how to win. Now, they missed Hedman in this series, there's no question, and Strawman. But I credited Tampa, but I also thought Boston was one of the teams that were going to be tough to play because of their experience. But I love the way Toronto's going at them. And Toronto's got youth and speed, much like the Blue Jackets. And when you have Marner blocking shots like that, they've got the will, too. So that's contagious. There's no easy matchup. But for the Blue Jackets here, I just can't get over what they did last night.
When you mentioned the stars of the Lightning, you forgot Kucherov, who didn't even show up in the series and had himself suspended for one of the four games
Unreal.
That were played. And that's well, lucky for him, the awards are voted on before the season ends and not in the playoffs.
He'll be going to Vegas.
Right. Yeah, right. What else here in the East? You mentioned, when you mentioned about getting out of the Metropolitan Division,
yeah.
And I agree with you, and it's easier to agree now that you beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. I get it. But it's the same old, same old. When you go there, let's say they start the series against Washington, and here you are back in last year's mode once again, right? It's the same old thing. And you're going to Washington, and you're going to Pittsburgh and all this. Get them somewhere else. I think the Sun did them well. I really do. They got a chance to actually be people outside of the rink. It was warm. You could be outside. You could eat outside. You could walk around outside. And
flip-flops, sunglasses.
Yeah, and embrace the challenge.
Yeah,
yes, it would have been a challenge to face the Washington Capitals again, but maybe there are some nerves there that aren't there with Tampa Bay just because
we haven't
done this before, right?
Bad memories. Yeah. You don't need to relive those in the first round. Fresh, new, no chance of winning. That's what I like about crossing over to the Atlantic. It was new. It was like they went into a town where nobody knew them, and everyone thought they were just going to get thrown out of town, but they said, no, we're here to stay. And that's, I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, actually, they weren't there to stay in the town. They didn't even want to go back to the town for game 5. But I understand what you're saying. Now, the other series that is going on in the Metropolitan Division right now, we talked about Toronto-Boston. The Blue Jackets get the winner of that. You've got Washington-Carolina. Now, it's very easy to say, Carolina, come on. They got beaten in the first two games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they look like
storm surge.
Yeah. I talked to John Forslund,
yeah,
who calls the play-by-play for the Carolina Hurricanes. He's been doing the series between the Blue Jackets and the Lightning as well for NBC. And he was going back and forth doing the games. And I talked to him a couple of days ago, and he said, our team is – they should be really proud of themselves for getting into the playoffs, but they're just not ready yet, and that's okay. And we know what that's like because we saw the Blue Jackets do the same thing. You get in that first year, you got to get the experience. Now they have that experience. They didn't have it before. So he said, that's okay. And it was. They lost the first two games, but all of a sudden they go home into a building that, you'll agree with me, we were there in October, November. I mean, there was – to borrow a Blue Jackets analogy, you could shoot a cannon through the place and not hit anybody.
Yeah.
But, boy, have they changed the culture there with what they have done, the way they have won. They go into a raucous building, and guess what? They beat the Washington Capitals 5-0. They also had Andrei Svechnikov knocked out in a fight with Alexander Ovechkin, which is the disappointing part of that game. But, the fact of the matter is that real? Or is that the one game that they get to win in that series? Because you usually don't get swept. Is that their one win, or are they real? Are they going to be able to pick up another home win?
I just think the parity in this league, you can't count anyone out. I think that's what we've learned here. And I think when you have a team like, okay, so Washington goes in, they're like, where are we? Because we've never seen this building with people in it, first of all, in Carolina. And they were shocked at that. And then Ovechkin gets challenged by the 19-year-old, just turned 19-year-old Svechnikov. And Svechnikov gets KO'd. And the team for the next, I think it was 30 minutes of hockey, of running time, of time off the clock, Washington had one shot in the next 30 minutes. That's just under two periods of play, one shot. So it galvanized the team. There's an emotional factor there now. When there's an emotional factor with a team, look out. I'll go back to Marty St. Louis losing his mom in the playoffs with the Rangers, and the team rallied around him, and they go to the finals. You can pick what you want and say what you want. Vegas went to the team went to Las Vegas, and there was a terrible, terrible massacre there just before they started training camp. And that team was rallied around. There's an emotional factor in hockey and in professional sports. And if Carolina has found it with the Svechnikov plus their fans, they're tough, and they're tough to. They've got some good players. They're tough to play against.
And their best player, maybe not by the numbers, but his numbers were damn good, is Justin Williams, their captain.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy that he's the storm surge
Mr.
guy.
Game 7.
Yeah, Mr. Game 7, now he's Mr. Season for the Carolina Hurricanes. We've talked about this before. You know, who would have thought that at whatever age, what is he, 38,
I think.
Yeah, something like that. Who would have thought that he would be the guy to turn the hockey world on its ear by starting the storm surge?
Awesome.
Right? I mean, he was the guy that came in. He says to Rod Brindamore, hey, look, we got some kids here. I think this is – we need to have fun. Need to find a way to have fun. And the fans bought into it, and now they have something there. So it's going to be really interesting to watch what happens there with them. Maybe they're just gaining that experience that they're going to need the next couple of years. But, man, in the East, there are two series left. They're two pretty good series, and the Blue Jackets will just kick back and wait for the Toronto-Boston one to be over.
It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, starting tonight, that Toronto game, we'll keep a close eye on that, of course, and then let them all beat themselves up.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then the Blue Jackets will have a couple days, and then they'll get back at it. But like I said earlier, I think they should take this team, or I said it on the postgame show last night, take these guys out of town. Get them out of here, because what they're going to hear for the next 6 days is how great they are. And sometimes that makes you fat and happy.
Yeah, you're right. And they haven't had this much downtime.
Right.
Right? And there's only so many meetings, and there's only so many video sessions, and there's only so much practice that you can do at this time of the year. What I asked Yarmo about, I just want to get, as we wrap up here, I want to get your opinion on the fact that Ryan Murray was in the dressing room yesterday. I haven't seen him in the dressing room for forever. And he was back in there. I didn't see McQuaid, but I know he's been skating. And then you've got the Gavrikov kid who played in the KHL. He's an older guy. It's not like he's an 18-year-old guy coming over to play defense. He's played in the Olympics. He's played in the KHL. He's played in the Men's League. I just wonder when or if we're going to see any of those guys.
We're going to see it. We're going to see Gavrikov. I don't know about Murray, but we're going to see this Russian kid. They don't sign him and give him a visa and get him over here just to come watch playoff hockey. Yarmo did a great job with Texier. Guess what? They're going to add, and they're going to add whatever they can to this roster to go all in, and this is a piece of it.
And how funny is it that when you talk about adding, you're always looking at the trade deadline, and here we are weeks and months after the trade deadline, and they're adding, from within.
Smart plays. These guys have made smart plays all year long. They've made smart plays in Cleveland. Cleveland's now in the playoffs. They got in. They're playing Syracuse. We'll probably get a couple guys from Tampa. Good luck to the Monsters. Hope they do what the Jackets did. But, there's depth, there's smart plays, there's smart decisions, and if you can add a player that's just finishing their playoffs over there in Europe and come here and step in, why not?
Absolutely. And you mentioned the Cleveland Monsters playing the Syracuse Crunch, Tampa's affiliate now. When those guys go back down after they've been eliminated, and you know this because you were in this boat too, you never know how they're going to play. It's easy to get concerned because there are four guys coming down from the NHL. But if those four guys coming down have zero interest in playing any more hockey, well, then that's a series that can kind of go like this one went, too. So you never
Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. You don't know.
Hey, and they got in right at the end. On the very last day,
they had to win and someone had to lose.
Right. So congratulations to John Madden and the group there. John Tortorella talked about it the other day. He said, we've been picking guys off their roster for the last couple of weeks, and they found a way. And, you know, and Torch knows. He used to be in Rochester.
Remember what that's like.
Oh, yeah. I used to get so mad as if anybody cared that I cared that they were taking Nikita Filatov to Columbus to sit and watch the playoffs. That's another story for another time. But anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of the Inside Edge. Very joyous and jubilant edition of the show. Mind you, the Blue Jackets, for the first time ever, have moved on to the second round in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They now await their next opponent. It's either going to be Toronto or Boston. And that series is being led by the Leafs 2-1. First 1-4 is going to take on the Blue Jackets in the next round. So that's going to do it for tonight's show. Thanks to Kia, Greater Columbus Kia Dealers, for being part of it all season and now into the playoffs. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott. Talk to you next time on 97.1 The Fan.